Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. We're so delighted that you're here. If you're a visitor, we want to say welcome. And then we want to welcome today Pastor Morgan Murray. He has come to preach today. He has recently been a pastor for several years at Walnut Creek Presbyterian Church, and they're a part of our eco body here with the Presbyterian Church. Morgan went to Cal, and then he went to Fuller Theological Seminary, has his doctorate in ministry. Very wonderful person, and we're just delighted to have him here with us today. And now I want to invite Brenda Gipps to come forward and share an announcement.
Good morning. I'm Brenda Gipps, if you don't know that, and I'm a current elder on Session. I'd like to update you on our progress. Session is in the process of preparing an offer for an interim pastor. And we're very encouraged and excited about this progress. We ask that you continue to pray for West Valley and this candidate. On a personal note, I'd like to thank each and every one of you that's here today. Being here today, your presence shows that you love and you're devoted to this church. I need you to stand here with me. I said I wasn't going to do this. West Valley has been Doug and I's home for 25 years. I know there's a lot of you that have been here a lot longer. But we've tried our best to serve this church. But we will never be able to give back to this church what it's done for us and our family. And I think a lot of you understand that. And I just really appreciate you being here. And keep us in your prayers. Your Session's working hard. And keep this candidate in your prayers in West Valley.
Thank you. Thank you, Brenda.
Heavenly Father, we welcome you here in our midst this morning on this day of worship, this day we give to you. We know deeply your love is higher than the heavens and your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Lord, I am a sinner born of Adam and I confess my brokenness before you. Try as I may, I confess that still at times I take actions that are rooted in spiritual darkness. But Father, we are so grateful for this church that you have given and this church family. You paid for it through the precious blood of Christ. We thank you for the hope given through Christ. We thank you for the perfect plans you've made and for your desire to prosper us and give us a hope and a future. Father, there is much darkness in the world today. For those who don't know you, Holy Spirit, I pray you unleash the gifting and the abilities of each member at West Valley. Use us, Father, to encourage each other and the community at large with the hope given through Christ. For the brothers and sisters facing health and other difficulties, Father, we ask for your intervention. For Tom Mancibo, we thank you for his successful surgery, and we ask for your walk with him now as he recovers. For Mary Jo Yee and her family, we pray, Father, that the recovery from the heart attack will be glorious in your name. And for any and all, I ask for the presence of your holy peace and love for their situations. For our church, Lord, please bless Pastor Hiro and Monica Kwan. They give so much towards our future leaders and our youth. Give them an abounding of patience and wisdom and vitality to lead these younger members. And for our session, Father, I ask for calmness and discernment. And we thank you, Father, for the candidate that you brought before us. Lord, protect us from the evil one. Father, thank you for bringing Reverend Morgan Murray, Morgan James Murray, to this morning. Please speak through him. Let us know what lies in your holy and loving heart. Teach us as you so desire, that we may become strong in our faith. Father, we gracefully ask these things in the manner that you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespass as we forgive our trespassers. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And all say, Amen.
Pastor Morgan will be preaching today from the book of Numbers, Numbers 6, 22 through 27. It's a beautiful, beautiful blessing that the Lord gives to Moses to share with Aaron. Now let's hear the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the Israelites. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they may put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Herein lies the reading of God's word.
Good morning. My name's Kevin. I like how Pastor Bob wanted to test you by confusing you first. By the end, I wasn't even sure what my name was. A couple of days ago, my sons and I walked across the street to a new restaurant. There's a new shopping center that's just opened up across the street from us, and it's pretty fun that you can just leave the house and walk over there. And you know how it is with these new shopping centers. There are lots of fast casual places, right? And fast casual means you don't sit down. You go and stand in line and put your order in, and then they'll bring you the food, or maybe they'll just give you a little thing that buzzes at you to tell you to come pick your food up at the counter. That's how this one was. Brand new place, and it's a great thing to have such a thing in the neighborhood because it provides new jobs to a lot of the kids in the area. And so my sons are in high school now, and they eat a lot. And this is a great thing. I'm thinking to myself, you guys should like this restaurant a lot and then get a job here. But a lot of their friends, so that people kind of knew from school and stuff were there. And because it's a fast casual place, you know, first my youngest son orders, and then my older son orders, and then I order. And each time, my younger son orders some fish and chips, of course. And they say, "Oh, and by the way, make sure you check out our flavor bar." And then my older son, you know, he orders again, fish and chips. "Oh, and by the way, don't forget our flavor bar." I know where this is going. I come up, I order actually not fish and chips. I order a different kind of fish with some chimichurri sauce on it. And yet, even though there's already sauce on my thing, they would want to remind me, "Please make sure you check out our flavor bar." And I can't help but think about this manager who's teaching these young men and women, you know, this is customer service. Customer service at a fast casual restaurant means they have to remember we have a flavor bar. This is how they were trained. They were trained to remember to tell people about the flavor bar. Now that may not seem like a really important thing to you and I, but it was really important to them. And the text that we have this morning is actually intended to communicate something that is really important to God. Here in the beginning of the book of Numbers, one of those very popular books that we all love to study in Sunday school, right? We get through the census at the beginning, counting up all the tribes. You know, here are the 12 tribes, and here's how many people were in each tribe and all that. And then a very detailed explanation about how the tabernacle, that tent of gathering that God is going to dwell in, that is going to be in the center of this traveling caravan called the nation of Israel. This is, you know, you guys are the ones who are going to carry the valuable stuff, and you're the ones who are going to set it up, and you're the ones who are going to make sure that the Ark of the Covenant is okay, and everybody's got to do it in just the right way and take care of all this precious stuff. All of this stuff is what God communicates to Moses about the importance of this space. And then the very last thing God says, Moses, tell the priests, that is Aaron and his sons' sons, and throughout the entire generations, you remind them that the last thing they say when somebody comes with a thanksgiving offering, or there's a burnt sacrifice that's given, or there's a guilt offering that's put before you, you remind them that anytime somebody comes to my tent, you say to them, I bless you. I am going to keep you. I am going to hold your face in my hands, and I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to make my face shine upon you, and I am going to give you peace. Remind the people, God says. Make sure it's the last thing they hear when they leave my sacred gathering, meeting, place of intimacy. You remind them, I love them. And it seems to me that this message must have had a real impact on people. This must have really been significant, because back in 1979, there was an archaeological dig outside of Jerusalem. And like so many archaeological digs, they came along and they found that grave robbers had been there before, so there wasn't much in the way of really meaningful artifacts. And you can go look this up on YouTube if you want. But there's a really fun little Nova segment on this, in which the chief archaeologist says, I gave a kid a job to sweep out one of these spaces that we had been doing just to kind of clean it up. And he was bored, so instead of sweeping out like I told him to, he was hitting it with a hammer. But when he hit the ground with a hammer, it broke open, and they found out that it wasn't in fact the floor, it was a caved-in roof. And that underneath it, we found two little tiny scrolls made of silver. And it's a really fun little segment that describes, you know, the challenge they took in carefully unrolling it. And when they unrolled these little silver scrolls, guess what they found? They found that written upon them were Numbers 6, 22 through 27. This blessing, what we often use as a benediction, even in Christian worship, these last words, these best words, way better words than don't forget the flavor bar. These were the words that people would carry with them through life and even into death. These words are so important for us to remember. And I want to suggest to you today that they're important for us to remember in two very particular occasions. The first occasion in which they are really important for us to remember is when our vision, our image, our sense of who God is gets too small. And the second is sort of the corollary, when our worries, when our fears grow too big. When our vision gets too small, I think that we, like the ancient Jews, would have easily found ourselves focusing not on God's goodness, but on our badness. You can imagine, can't you, that over the generations of practicing these rituals, of offering these sacrifices to God, that people would get it in their heads that God's mad at us. That's why we have to keep doing this sacrificing. That's why we have to keep offering this stuff, because God's mad at us. Man, we're sinners. Man, we're bad. Man, we're terrible. And we just keep, and that God knew that the practice of this interaction that people would get it in their heads that God somehow needed to be appeased. That we would get it in our minds and in our hearts that this offering activity that we're doing was for God's sake instead of for ours. That the focus would become so much upon our guilt when what God really wanted was not for us to focus on our guilt, but on His goodness, on His love, and on His care. This relationship around this ritual would kind of get itself twisted up. I don't know about you, but I find it so easy to become convinced that God is only glorified, that God's only happy, that God is only seen for who God really is when I am dutiful, when I work hard, when I am, for those brief little moments, perfect. If glorifying God makes me and everyone around me neurotic and miserable, well, so be it. God requires sacrifices. Can you relate to that image of God at all? Has your sense of who God is become too small? In the Gospels, Jesus has to confront this on a regular basis. And one of the wonderful stories I love about it is that kind of captures this is actually in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew, the author is talking about when Jesus came to him and invited him to follow. And it was at that moment that Matthew, the tax collector, Matthew, the generally despised and unloved, had his whole image of this God completely blown open. Jesus, the highly esteemed and well-respected, comes to Matthew, the notorious and the despised, and he says, you should come and hang out with me. You should become part of what I'm doing. It's time, Matthew, for you to have a fresh start. Matthew undoubtedly concludes that this is too good to be true, but he's going to accept anyway. And so he throws a dinner party with all of his friends. And we all know who his friends are. We talk about his friends more than we talk about probably any other group of friends in the entire New Testament except for the disciples. Who are they? The tax collectors and the sinners. Matthew invites all of his friends, who of course are tax collectors and sinners. Who else is going to hang out with Matthew? And so here we are at this dinner party. It's Matthew, his friends, the tax collectors and the sinners, Jesus and his disciples. They're all having a dinner party together. And the Pharisees, the hardcore, the rule keepers, the really earnest ones, the ones who take this whole God thing really, really seriously, the ones who just know God needs more sacrifices, they look at Jesus and they say, what are you doing hanging out with these people? And what does Jesus say? He says, go. As in, go away. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus, quoting Hosea, reminds his listeners about God's true character. God cares about mercy, giving it freely and seeing that it is freely given. Proving worth, earning love, winning approval. God is not about these things, and God never was. Over and over again, we find ourselves thinking about a God that's actually way smaller than the God that Jesus reveals in the Scriptures, than the God that Jesus reveals by His life and His character. We confuse God and God's character with other authority figures in our lives. So many people today struggle to think of God as a parent, as a father, because of the painful relationships they have with their earthly fathers. How often do we know if we went and asked people out in our community today to describe who God is as they imagine it, we would hear them describe things like a demanding boss, an absent landlord, a punitive cop, or an angry judge. And over again, Jesus calls us to help reset people's thinking, as He did when He said, but if you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to you? We want to experience the largeness of God. Amen? We want to know this God that's described in this beautiful benediction that says, I am going to hold you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to make your life whole. I'm going to prosper you. That's who I am. That's the kind of God I am. Because sometimes our image of God just gets too small. And sometimes our worries just get too big, don't they? There was a season of time when I was really in a hard place financially. And somebody said, maybe you should go sit down and talk with this friend of mine. He's got some great wisdom about stuff. And so I did. I sat with him. And he said, you know, I hear what's going on in your life. And I just want to help you kind of think about what's happening. And he says, you know, when life gets really, really hard, your field of vision shrinks. And the only thing you can see is the thing you're worried about. He says, you lose all your peripheral vision. And your heart rate begins to go up. And all you can see is the problem, the crisis that's right in front of you that seems bigger than anything else. He says, that's what happens when we get afraid. And boy, I don't know, friends, but it sounds like maybe you can relate to that. Maybe we can all relate to that a little bit right now. That when our fears get too big, that's when we need to hear this good last word again. That was many years ago when that person described to me, said, hey, notice how you can't see God right now because your peripheral vision, you can't see the whole horizon. You can't see the how big and how vast God's provision is. You can't see that yet. Let's slow things down a little bit and begin to open up our view again and see how big and how loving and how good God is. And it was a couple of weeks ago, just before Pastor Bob reached out to me and invited me to come, that I was talking with another friend. And we were having coffee, and I was sharing with him my journey. And he just said, you know, I just, at times like this, the word that just comes to me is, the Lord bless you and keep you. And he began to speak this good word over me again, just like a priest of Aaron spoke it over a person coming to the tent of meeting thousands of years ago, because their problems had gotten so big. The things that they were afraid of had the fullness of their field of vision. And they needed to be reminded of this big God who is for them. So I hope this morning, whether your vision of God has gotten so a little too small, or your field of vision has been filled with the problems, the anxieties that you are, or we as a community are facing, I hope that this good last word, the Lord is blessing you and keeping you. The Lord is making his face to shine upon you. The Lord is giving you peace. The Lord is speaking blessing over your whole life. I hope that is a comfort to you. But friends, I'd be irresponsible of me not to remind you that not only are we those who receive the blessing, but we are also the ones who are called to bless. We know that in the Old Testament, the priests were the intermediaries between God and the people. They were the ones who were entrusted with telling the people, God is for you. And we know that finally made its way into the temple worship experience in Jerusalem, and that all the energy got around how that was supposed to happen at the temple in Jerusalem by the priests. And we know that Jesus came and upended that whole experience, changed that all once and for all, so much so that his good friend Peter would later write, don't you know, you are a chosen race. You are now the royal priesthood. You're the holy nation. You're the ones called to showcase God's goodness. You're the ones now blessed to be that blessing. You're the ones who have not only heard and received the blessing, but now you get to go declare it and confer it. Friends, I have a strong hunch that like my friend who heard my story a couple weeks ago and said, I just need to bless you in the name of the Lord. I need to remind you of how big God is. I need to remind you that your problems in relation to His love and provision are really pretty small. I have a strong hunch, friends, that there's somebody in your life. Somebody that's coming, the Holy Spirit might be even bringing to your mind right now, whom if you did nothing else this week, but went to them and looked them in the eye and said, you know, I believe this word is for you. The Lord is holding you right now. In the midst of what you're going, the Lord is loving you right now. The Lord is reaching out and claiming you and caring for you right now. I believe that we are called not just to be the recipients of this great blessing, but to give it away. To give it away lavishly, indiscriminately, obnoxiously. Like the young guy at reminding me of the Flavor Bar. We should be as obnoxious about blessing people and telling people the Lord is for them as that kid was in reminding me that there was salsa around the corner. We, friends, are now trusted. What God said to Moses to say to Aaron, to say to his sons, is now said to us. We are now to go and declare, the Lord bless you, world. The Lord bless you, friends. Bless you, co-workers. Bless you, sister who annoys me. Bless you, kids who are angry at God. Bless you, co-worker who's having the worst day of her life. Bless you, teacher who's stretched beyond what they can imagine. Bless you, church staff who are doing their very best to keep this thing going. Bless you, session elders who are trying to bring us new leaders and keep us moving in the right direction. Bless you, neighbor who plays his music too loud. Bless you, Lord. Lord, bless them as we speak your name over their lives. Amen. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, loving God, who holds us as beloved, who holds us dear, may we, in knowing and feeling confident in that identity, in our belovedness, now feel the confidence to give that away lavishly to the world around us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would impress upon each of us the ways in which we are now blessed in order to be a blessing to others. Give us, each of us, a divine appointment this week, Lord. An appointment with somebody who needs to hear that you are for them, not against them. That you are not judging and punishing, but you are loving and accepting and receiving. That you are not withholding or giving out in small, miserly ways, but that you are pouring out fullness and love and abundance, because that is your nature. That's how big a God you are. May we know that more fully this week, Lord, and may we be able to share that more abundantly with the people in our lives who desperately need to hear it. Holy Spirit, open up those opportunities for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
What other benediction could I possibly give to you other than the one that we have been able to just marinate in for a few minutes this morning? And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord hold you in the center of His love and care and send you out now to be a blessing to the world. Amen.